Kia ora koutou katoa, you're looking fine. Nice to see you today. Now, next week is Pentecost Sunday. Now, next week we have a guest speaker, so I'm going after Pentecost today, a week early. So my title is Prepare for Pentecost. Prepare for Pentecost, because it's next week. But we're going there today. We're going to look at five scriptures. And I'm going to start by talking about the modern Pentecost movement, which started apparently officially at Azusa Street in LA in California over a century ago. But first, let's look at what life was like over a century ago. I found some statistics that are American about the year 1910 and how different life was 113 years ago. So did you know in America in 1910 that the average life expectancy for men was only 47 years? And only 14% of homes had a bathtub. And no one had a shower anywhere in the world in their homes at that time. Only 8% of homes had a phone, a telephone. There were only 8,000 cars in America and only 144 miles of paved roads. And the maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles an hour. And fuel was sold in pharmacies only. Also in pharmacies were sold marijuana, heroin and morphine, all available over the counter. More than 95% of births took place at home. 90% of all doctors had no university education. They attended instead these so-called medical schools, many of which were condemned in the press and by the government as substandard. Most women only washed their hair once a month and used borax or egg yolks for shampoo. You might have some birds sitting in your head trying to peck the egg. And 20% of the adult population was illiterate. And only 6% of people in America had completed their high school education. There was no Mother's Day or Father's Day. Oh dear! How primitive! Yet it was in this age that the modern Pentecost movement began. It was into this time that the Lord sent the power of the Holy Spirit into modern times, because in 1906, there was a revival. There was also one about the same time a year earlier in Wales, which changed Wales. And they still have a heritage of singing in the stadiums. Have you noticed that? And all the choirs that have come out of Wales. That's from the revival, when they emptied the pubs and all went to church and sang to the Lord. Anyway, we're on Azusa Street, so there was this revival. And there was an illiterate, one-eyed African-American preacher. He had lost an eye, and his name was Reverend William Seymour. And he led a group of people who were hungry for the power of God. They'd read about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the power coming down from heaven in Acts 2 and speaking in tongues in the Bible. And they were seeking after the baptism in the Holy Spirit in modern times. Now, at this time, of course, in the USA and all over the world, there was still serious racial segregation happening. So when Reverend William received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he had to go into the back room to be prayed for while the white folks were prayed for out the front. But the Holy Ghost knows no such segregation. And the Holy Spirit used William Seymour to bring a powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit to many people of all color, both men and women. Now, we've got to understand, before this, there was hardly anyone was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hardly anyone. I remember, I've shared with you before how after my granddad went to heaven, we were looking through his library, and he was a strong Christian, and I found a book on cults, and I was getting all the Christian books, and a book about the cults, and I said, oh, this will be good, we'll read about the cults. And then I'm going, yeah, Mormons, yeah, J-Dubs, yeah, yeah, Pentecostals. I went, Dal, we're in the cult book! Oh, no! But it was printed about the 1940s, and that's what they saw Pentecostals as back then, because hardly anyone was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there were hardly any Pentecostal churches. And in New Zealand, there were none, as far as I'm aware, until Wigglesworth came through 100 years ago. And out of that, Pentecostal churches started in New Zealand. Now, back to Azusa Street. Because of this powerful encounter, thousands of people came and visited Azusa Street and then carried on and went back to their own cities, towns, and even their own nations. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled with power And then, thus it spread. They went home. It spread across the world. Many churches were planted out of this Azusa Street Holy Ghost outpouring. So many missionaries went out from Azusa Street that within 2 years of the revival, the move of the Spirit had spread to over 50 nations. Today, 117 years after Azusa Street, there are more than 500 million, that's a very conservative estimate, Pentecostal and charismatic believers across the globe, and it is the fastest growing form of Christianity today. Because the Holy Spirit is a fire that spreads, and we can't contain him. And we know on the day of Pentecost, 120 of Jesus' followers were baptized in the Spirit. So let's put it up there. This is our first scripture in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's a miracle. And suddenly there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind, which filled the room where they were sitting. And what appeared to be tongues of fire appeared over their heads. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. So Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later resurrected, came alive, appeared to people for 40 days, then ascended to heaven. 10 days later, while they prayed, the Holy Spirit was sent down to earth. And this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by Isaiah, by Joel, by John the Baptist, and by Jesus. Let's look at John the Baptist's prophecy, second scripture, Matthew 3. Verse 11b, John the Baptist was prophesying about Jesus. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we know the church was started, it was born in the upper room in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why the church has grown in unprecedented numbers, especially in the last 115 plus years all across the earth, is because of one thing, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that, you may ask? If you don't know, it is a supernatural phenomenon. When you encounter the Holy Spirit's power and you're filled with his power, you have a power encounter. God also gives you a prayer language which you haven't studied or learned. And then that's a gateway into the spirit realm, and it's a gateway into the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit moving in them. You know, I really do believe we each need to be able to pray and speak in tongues personally. It is God's will for you to be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, born-again, baptized believer. Nothing less. We've got to take all God has given us. We don't just pick out a few bits in the Bible that we eat, that we like, that we think are socially acceptable. We've got to take all the Lord has for us. Don't be a fussy eater. All the parents, don't you hate it when your kids are like fussy eaters? Doesn't the Bible say eat what is set before you? It's a scripture we often quote in our house. As well as do everything without arguing or complaining. As well as obey your parents. Anyway, we need this power encounter. You need this. I need this. We all need some Holy Spirit power. Tell the person next to you, you need some Holy Spirit power. Tell the person on the other side, you need some. So do I. Oh, yeah. Pentecost is not just a one-off thing, a historical day. God wants us to live every day overflowing with his power. Now, some Christians say, well, we received the Holy Spirit when we first believed, so we don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look at that for a moment. The difference between receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation and being baptized in the Holy Spirit is huge. It's a bit like having a sip of water, as I'm doing right now, and diving into a swimming pool. In one instance, I'm just having a wee drink of water. In the second instance, I'm totally immersed in water. And I'm saturated, and I get out, and I'm all wet. And I leave drips all on the carpet when I walk. Here's a quote from the late, great Bill Subritzky from his book, Victory in Jesus. He is speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, too often we want to run off and do our own thing. Let us remember that the disciples present on the night of the resurrection of Jesus had already received the Holy Spirit. They did not say, we have enough. They did not say, there is no more. They did not say, there is no other experience. They simply obeyed the Lord. That is what God calls upon us to do today. And if we did this, and our churches really obeyed God in this respect and sought this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then how totally changed our churches would be. You know, we've got to embrace all that God has for us. He knows best. Here's our third scripture, Joel 2, verse 28a, the Old Testament. This is a prophetic word. This is the Lord. He said, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. A more literal translation is, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. And this is happening in the last 117 years. God's church has been spreading and growing astronomically across the earth because he is fulfilling this prophetic word. He is pouring out his spirit on all people. This is happening now in the last days. And we know that the churches that are growing the most, getting the most people saved, sending the most missionaries, and having the most impact are the churches that have the power of the Holy Spirit moving in them. I'm talking about people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and are full of them, full of him. Now, this is not Pentecostal arrogance or denominational pride, because many of these churches don't have a Pentecostal name over the door. They are mainline churches who have embraced the Holy Spirit. Where do we get our alpha and our marriage calls from? It's from an Anglican church in Britain that's gone crazy with the Holy Spirit. I would far rather personally go to a mainline church that is alive and burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost than a stone-cold, dead Pentecostal church any day of the week. And the churches that are growing the most in the world are not in the West. They're in Africa and Asia and South America, and they are burning with the power of the Holy Spirit. People being saved, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healed, miracles, signs, wonders in their thousands. They are seeing some serious supernatural power. I really believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. This baptism is vital to live the Christian life, because it's the Holy Spirit who does the healings and the miracles and the wonders through us. He's the one who speaks through us with great boldness to share the gospel. You've heard me talk about Smith Wigglesworth before. He is such a fave, and he brought the power of the Holy Spirit to our nation in a big way 100 years ago. He was a powerful man of God who lived 100 years ago in the UK. He was a Christian, and he and his wife Polly went to church. But she did all the preaching. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. He didn't preach. He was a plumber. He was illiterate. He started working in a turnip field 12 hours a day when he was only 7. Because that's what working class Brits did 140 years ago or whatever it was. And Polly was preaching. But after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, an incredible boldness and confidence and fire from God came on him. And he started to preach powerfully. And he started to lay hands on people, and miracles and healings were breaking out. And he has the most people raised from the dead of any person in modern times that's documented. And I can't remember how many it is, but I think it's over 10. But I haven't looked that up. But, you know, a crazy man. He even once walked into a meeting dragging a dead body. And this is not a good look. And he threw it up against the back wall of the church and said, live! And it fell down to the ground. Then he picked it up, threw it up again and said, live! And on the second or third time, the guy came alive and walked out. It was just, it's freaky. Next level stuff. And so the fire of the Holy Spirit came on him and in him, and he started to preach powerfully. And when he first preached, his wife Polly yelled out, that's not my Smith. That's not my Smith! Or something like that. She couldn't even recognize her own husband. The Holy Spirit is bold. And when you get filled with him to overflowing, he makes you bold. And the Holy Spirit doesn't give a rip about what anyone thinks. When you get filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, the fear of man will drop off you. Thank God for that. It is vital for us as individuals and as a church that we get and stay full of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another scripture, Mark 16, verse 17. This is our fourth scripture. Jesus talking, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. And a few more things, but we're going to camp there on the tongues. But just for a moment, there's a lot of misunderstanding around this. So we know Jesus told us we would speak in new tongues, which means languages. It's an old-fashioned word from the King James Bible 500 years ago, tongues meaning languages. So we know that Jesus is into us speaking in tongues in these languages. There's an actual term for it. It's called glossolalia. Anyway, it's a thing. We know it's God's will for us. We read it here in the scriptures. We read Acts and we read these prophetic things from John the Baptist and from Jesus and from Joel. So why are we sometimes a little bit hesitant to do it? Why are we a little bit nervous around it? Well, I just want to talk about it for a moment. You know, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, it's a powerful tool to build up your spiritual muscle. And I often say this to people when I'm praying for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you go to the gym and lift weights, your body gets strong and muscly. But when you speak in tongues and pray in tongues, your spirit gets strong and muscly. But you can't see your spirit. You can't flex in front of the mirror like you can with your newfound muscles because it's invisible. But you can notice that you are getting spiritually stronger because things that used to weary you don't anymore. So speaking in tongues, it's this personal prayer language that God gives us supernaturally that we haven't studied or learned. It strengthens us. The Bible says it edifies us. It builds us up. Did you know every place in the book of Acts where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues? There's only one place where it didn't say what happened, but it said they offered him money for it. So it must have been dramatic. Sometimes they prophesied as well. Now, I can talk to you about the Holy Spirit until the cows come home. But if you haven't experienced him, you won't get it. You've got to experience him for yourself. Now, those of me who know me well know that I love a tomato juice and I drink it every day. But I'm not going to go with the tomato juice analogy because a lot of you are dry retching right now because you just think it tastes like cold tomato soup and you hate it. So I'm going to choose Fijoa juice, which I also love, but I don't drink as much of because it costs more. And anyway, so it's maybe a more palatable example. Oh no, I love Fijoa juice. It's really an amazing thing to eat and to drink, and anything that has Fijoa in it has got to be from God. We've got like 5 Fijoa trees at our house and... Now, I'm trying to get you to like Fijoa juice like I do. I'm trying to explain it to you. You've got to try it. And you're like, why? Because it's beautiful. Oh, what does it taste like? Well, it's Fijoa-y. Well, and if you've never had Fijoas, if you're an immigrant from somewhere that doesn't have Fijoas, I'm trying to tell you what it's like. Well, it's kind of sweet. Well, it's kind of tangy. Well, it's just Fijoa-ish. But how do I say it to you? And you've got no idea what I'm talking about until you taste it for yourself. It's like the Holy Spirit. I could try and say, well, he's just amazing. You're like, well, what happens? What does it feel like? Well, he feels like warm and soft and heavy, like a warm blanket around you, like oil. But I could talk and talk, and you're not going to get it until you try him for yourself. The next verse, Psalm 34, verse 8, says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've got to taste him for ourselves. We've got to try him for ourselves. There are people here in this room, just I know with this number of people, there will be people here who need to do this today. We're also going to have a lot of other people who are going to be touched afresh by the Holy Spirit today. Maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet and you've watched other people be touched and filled by the Holy Spirit, but you've held back. You just won't understand him until you try it for yourself. Until you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people get nervous. They hesitate to embrace the Holy Spirit. Well, the church I came from wasn't into all this tongues and Holy Spirit stuff. And grandma and grandpa, they weren't into it either. So I'm not either. It's amazing to me that people will show more allegiance to a church that they didn't even like enough to stay in, to a movement that they got sick of, to a whole denomination that they were happy to leave, than they do to what the Bible says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have to show allegiance to what Jesus said, not to our religious traditions. God, deliver us from that. Remember, you didn't even like that church. That's why you left. If God is leading you into a Spirit-filled church, go with the program. Embrace all he has for you. Don't get religious and start sticking your toes and going, well, this is different. I don't know about this. Embrace it. It's a new thing for you. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Bible came alive to me. The Holy Spirit interprets his own word to us. before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was trying to read the Bible. I was getting saved and I'd read it with a dictionary beside me because it was New King James, and I was and then I got baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, and it was just like smacking me in the face. He was speaking to me through it. He interprets his own word. Praying in the Holy Spirit makes you spiritually strong, and we each need to be constantly strengthening our spirit by praying in tongues. Only you can do this. No one else can strengthen your spirit for you. Only you can build up your spirit. Your connect group leader can't edify and strengthen your spirit. Neither can your husband or your wife or your parents. Sure, they can encourage you and say nice things to you and pray for you. But God has given you the ability to strengthen your spirit by praying in tongues every day. It says it builds up your spirit. Now, it's God has made you the steward of your own spirit. And it's your responsibility to build up your spirit. It's my responsibility to build up my spirit every day. It's your responsibility to keep your spirit at boiling point. And a great way to do this, I've talked about this before, is to have a tongues habit every day. So every day you speak in tongues for a specific time. And you can do this also when you're doing something else. Like maybe every day you mindlessly hang out the washing, or you're doing something else brain dead, like your commute to work, and you can do it with your eyes closed. Don't try that. But you could be praying in tongues, especially if you're alone in the car while you're driving to work. Maybe you're biking to school, and this is biking, and you're on your bicycle. Or maybe you're walking to school by yourself, and under your breath, you're just like, or maybe you're in the shower. That's a great time, and you're just praying in tongues because it builds up your spirit. I always try and pray in tongues for at least 5 minutes at the start of my prayer time, and then I'm in the spirit and I know how to pray. It's really important. Now, the Holy Spirit prays through us as we pray in tongues. We don't even know what we're praying. He prays through our spirit for needs that we have that we are not even aware of. It's incredible. As we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is releasing God's plan for us. As we pray in tongues, we are actually praying the will of God into being in our lives. I remember one of my friends, she and her husband were our youth pastors in our last church in Hamilton. And she and their first child, a baby, were driving in her old car up to Hamilton to join us in our outreach at the 1990 Commonwealth Games in Auckland that we were at. And she was praying in tongues the whole way from Hamilton to Auckland for an hour and a half. And she didn't know why. It was quite intense. And then when she went to come off the off-ramp, the brakes failed. And then the car just drifted slowly over onto the side. And she really believed that that was the Holy Spirit interceding through her for the safety of her and their baby. And she didn't even know why. This is what he does. He is amazing. As we pray, he is praying the will of God into being. Now, Satan hates this, and he will do anything he can to stop you praying in tongues. He fears it. He can't understand it. It goes right over his head. But he can see the fruit of it. As we are growing spiritually bigger and stronger, we are becoming a far greater threat to him. Now, I love how this prayer language is just for our spirit. Your spirit's round about here, I think. It bypasses our mind, our soul, and it strengthens our inner spiritual person. Now, our mind, these minds, man, these 4-inch minds God gave us, they can be quite controlling. They want to overanalyze everything. They want to be in charge. And our soul, especially our emotions, can even hold us hostage at times. And so God does this detour around our soul and communicates straight with our spirit. Because we are to live out of our spirit. And if you've done cleansing streams, it's like spirit, soul, body. The world says body, soul, spirit. We start the other way. Spirit, then soul, body. So we are to live out of our spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. We're to live out of our spirit and make decisions and be led by the spirit. Not our emotions, how we feel. Try living out of your emotions for a while. You won't be employed very long because you won't feel like getting up and going to work. You won't stay married for very long because you might see someone younger and hotter. Don't live out of your emotions. That's a bad decision right there. We've got to make decisions out of our spirit. So our spirit, soul, body is submitted to the Holy Spirit who's hovering over us as we are submitted to him. God does a detour around our soul and goes straight to our spirit. You know, this world emphasizes the soul and the body so much because they go body, then soul, then spirit. They don't even give much thought to their spirit. In fact, when someone's not even saved, their spirit has not come alive yet. The body is such a big deal in this world, you know, looking good, keeping fit, and how we look, buying clothes, going shopping, all of those things are good, especially the shopping. But they're not as important. They're not as important as our spirit. Now, your body is going to shrivel up and eventually die. Are you encouraged today? Now, you young ones over here are not looking too shriveled yet, but one day your day will come. Our spirit is going to live forever in eternity with the Lord. That's why we know we're going to live forever. But many Christians put a higher priority on taking care of their body and how they look ahead of taking care of their spirit. Well, I don't have time to pray before church on Sunday morning because I'm spending like half an hour on my makeup and my hair. Well, I don't have time to pray before work because I've got to go to the gym and get buff. You can have a $1 million body with a $2 spirit. Tell the person next to you, don't be that guy. Tell the person on the other side, because I'm feeling left out right now. Don't be that guy. Amen. Every morning, let's prepare our inside as well as our outside. Let's not only exercise our body, let's exercise our spirit also. Don't only build your core. Build some strength into your spiritual core. Because when we're weak, we are vulnerable to temptation. And we struggle and we feel down. And then we end up living out of our soul, our bad thinking and our emotions, which is so up and down like a roller coaster, rather than living out of our spirit. We've got to get some strength into our spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who does this. And He reproduces the things of the Spirit within us. He makes the life of the Spirit spring up within us. You know, the early Pentecostals said that the baptism in the Holy Spirit makes you not even want to sin. And this is because the more of the power of God and the Holy Spirit we get inside us, He changes our desires. And He puts His desires inside us. So we don't even want to do the things we used to do. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us holy. And the more we speak in tongues, the more we increase this process. And then we get to have the liberty of the Spirit, and then we are free to follow Jesus. Jesus wants all His followers to be full of the Holy Spirit's power and speaking in tongues every day. Not just those of a Pentecostal persuasion. This is for every Christian, for all of His church, because every Christian needs to be strong and full of the power of God. We need to have powerful Christians, not powerless Christians. There's too many people out there are religious, but there's no power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. We want to have the power to overcome temptations, to live above our circumstances, to share with others about Jesus, to see healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. And we are well armed against temptation when we are full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus modeled this for us. The Holy Spirit was a source of Jesus' authority. And if we look for homework in Luke 4, we see He was well prepared for His combat with the devil. Jesus had prepared Himself, how? By being baptized in water and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is Christianity 101. It's what we start with. Yes, come band, come and help me. Now, at Jesus' baptism, remember He was baptized in water and then the Holy Spirit came down on Him like a dove. And then He heard the affirmation from the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So when we obey the Lord by being baptized in water, hands up if you've been baptized in water. Great. And baptized in the Spirit. Hands up if you've been baptized in the Spirit. That's great. That's Christianity 101. You've started now. If you haven't done those things, you need to do them to start the race. It's the first thing we do when we've started. When we've obeyed the Lord by being baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit, we are more than ready for any fight with the devil. It's like, bring it. I am ready. Just like Jesus was. The more we pray in tongues, the stronger we get. We don't fear the giants and the problems we face as we did before. The problems may still be there, but your spirit has been strengthened so much that now you're like a warrior on the inside. There's a giant rising up inside of you. There's a lion roaring on the inside of you. And when we pray in tongues, oh, we get in tune with the Holy Spirit. We open up the life flow of the Holy Spirit into our spirit and we hear His voice more clearly. Thank you, Lord. And we even know stuff that our mind doesn't know yet. We don't even know how we know or why we know, but we just know because the Holy Spirit is revealing things to us. We know more clearly what God likes because an excitement rises up inside of us in a situation. We also know what He doesn't like because He'll warn us and show us things about people and situations that could be harmful for us. The more we speak in tongues, the more our hunger for God increases. And this is followed by a decrease in the dominance of the flesh, the sinful nature, and an increase in the dominance of our spirit. So then instead of making decisions out of our flesh, our sinful nature, we start making decisions out of our spirit, our new godly nature. Instead of following our fleshly sinful desires, we start following our holy godly desires. The Holy Spirit helps us even in areas of our character that we can struggle with. You know, Smith Wigglesworth shared, if you read his books, about how he had this terrible temper, a bad temper. He would get so angry, he would turn white with rage. All the blood would drain out of his face and he'd start shaking. He would get so angry and he couldn't control it. So he asked the Holy Spirit to help him because he had anger issues. And he waited on God for the Holy Spirit to heal him for 10 days. And what he said what happened was the Holy Spirit emptied him out and filled Smith with his own nature, the Holy Spirit's nature of love and peace. And his wife testified. She said, "I have never seen such a change in a person. It was total transformation." The same Holy Spirit can bring transformation to you and I as well in areas that we struggle with. And do you know the Holy Spirit desperately loves you and wants to pray for you? He wants to pray for your situation through you. You know, the language of the Holy Spirit and the way He speaks to us is often in visions and dreams. You have another person I love to talk about is the late great Dr. Cho, who is the founder and pastor of the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. He said in one of his books, one of the primary functions of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to enable people to see what God sees. He opens our eyes to the invisible reality of the heavenly realms. And when Dr. Cho was a young man at Bible college in Seoul in the mid-1950s, he constantly dreamed of establishing the largest church in the world. Now, he was a humble guy. He didn't have a messianic sort of mindset. He wasn't being arrogant. It was his dream that kept reoccurring of this large church. And the church is so large, you can't drive to it. You have to get in a bus. And the bus is just circular, pick up, drop off, because there's no car park that's big enough. Now, this was more than a human idea. History now bears out that the Holy Spirit inspired Dr. Cho with a prophetic dream. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you in your job, in your marriage. He wants to give you insight and creative ideas in your business. He wants to show you what to do. He wants to show you things to help you understand your boss or your wife or your husband. Good luck with those last two. Or your kids. Help us, Lord. And how they tick. Whatever it is you are believing God for, it's going to take more of the power of the Holy Spirit to see it come to pass. So we've got to be hungry for it. You know what? You don't have to wait for a youth camp. You don't have to wait for a Seeking God retreat. You don't have to wait for Increased Conference or One Heart Conference. You don't have to wait for a crisis to be praying in tongues, to be getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can do it daily. You know, you can have a huge spiritual growth spurt right now by praying in tongues every day. If you did that every day, you would not even recognize yourself spiritually by the end of the year, because you'll have more joy, you'll be less fearful, you'll be a happier, more powerful Christian. Things that used to weary you and stress you out, you now eat them for breakfast. Hallelujah. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've shared this before, back in 1988 in the halls of residence, my friend, one of the guys on my floor, he prayed for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was a really nice looking guy and I was quite distracted, to be honest, and nothing happened that day. So then the next day, my friend Carolyn, who had led me to the Lord, came and she laid hands on me. And she said, "Now you're really going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit." So she laid hands on me and I felt the power of God come into me. And I've never felt anything like that before. And I looked in the mirror because I was sitting on the end of my bed in those little rooms in the halls of residence. They had these big full-length mirrors on the wall. Now it was morning, the sun was streaming into my room because it faced east. And I looked in the mirror, I caught sight of myself in the mirror, I did double take because my pupils were huge. And I suddenly remembered something that my English teacher had said in the third form. He said, "Girls, if a guy ever tells you he loves you, look into his eyes, because the sign of true love is when your pupils dilate." And I suddenly remembered that and I thought, I've found true love. My pupils are dilated. They shouldn't be. The sun's coming in. They should be small. I've found true love. Now, that's not a sign. It's not in the Bible. You have to pupils dilate. Nothing, nothing. That was just my testimony I'm sharing with you today. But I knew I'd found true love. The Holy Spirit is true love. He is God here on earth. The Father and the Son are on thrones in heaven. And the third part of the Godhead, the third part of the Trinity, is here with us to have fellowship with us. The Paraclete is the one who comes alongside. He's the Comforter, the Counselor, the one who leads us into all truth. Let's stand together, shall we? The power of Pentecost needs to be more than just a historical event. Oh, yes, we remember the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, we remember Azusa Street. Oh, yes, we remember the Welsh Revival. No, we need to be moving in this every day. Because unsaved people out there need us to be full of the power of God. They need us to be full of boldness so we share Jesus with them. They need healing. They need some miracles happening around them, some healings, some stuff. They need Christians who are not just religious but actually have some power happening, actually are carrying some power that can change their life. How dare we cut down what Jesus told us and make a little gospel, a little Christianity that's PC and politically palatable for ourselves so we look good? How dare we? We have got to take all God has for us. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. So right now, we are going to pray for some people and we're going to lay hands on people. And I've been talking to lots of the ministry team and they are prayed up and ready. And I'm going to ask you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, and you want to be, I'd like to invite you to come down and stand on this side. And the people who pray for you are going to pray for that. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you know that you need a fresh and filling of His power, come and stand on this half of the altar call. Father, right now I pray you would speak to us and that we would be carriers of the power of God, of the Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, come now and move in power. If that's you, come. Don't hesitate. Come. Don't wait and see if your friend comes, if your wife comes. This is between you and God. Come. In Jesus' name, amen.